This morning, as we turn to our scripture, we're continuing in the letter from James, and the bulletin suggests that we're going to read from chapter 3, verse 13, into 4, and some various verses, and I'm going to read straight through those whole passages, so it'll be a little more than what you see there. But I'd welcome, if you'd like to follow along, you open up your pew Bible to the New Testament, to page 216, to the letter of James. Hear the word of our Lord. And just a reminder, if you've been here the last couple of weeks, we talked about the difference between faith and works. And then James continues right after that in talking about taming the tongue, which was my embarrassing story of falling off a horse. And then today we talk a little bit further as James talks to his first century congregation. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the Scripture says, God yearns jealously for the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us? But He gives all the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This letter of James that we've been considering these past several weeks is full of all sorts of good stuff, but it is also full of some frustration. This frustration comes from the fact that just like every other epistle in the Bible, just like every letter from Paul or from whomever, it would really help us to know more background information. It would be great if we had a better understanding of what prompted this letter and what was going on with these first century congregations who were the recipient of this letter. The alternative to this kind of historical background approach is to look at the letter at face value, simply for what it is, and to see it through modern eyes. Even with limited background information, we can understand that James is talking about the kinds of wisdom that people seek and the kinds of wisdom people use in living their daily lives. And I believe that this is a valid question for people of any time period, including ours. What serves as wisdom for us? What does it mean to be wise? When I was a kid, I always figured that you had to be really old to be wise. So I looked up to my grandfather as a wise man. My father's father, William Clement Morris, lived in an old white house that was just a few blocks away from the harbor in Camden, Maine. To this day, I can still smell that wonderful aroma of his pipe as he lit the tobacco. I can still hear the creak of his giant leather chair that stood behind the desk in his study. And I can still feel the strength of his arms as he enclosed me in a bear hug. Grandfather didn't show affection very often. That wasn't the way of his generation when you were raising young boys. You see, my grandfather had been the headmaster of a boarding school for boys when he was still working. So, as much as I loved him, I didn't really know him. I always thought of my grandfather as wise, as a wise old man. But he died before I ever really got to know him. I never really understood what his wisdom truly meant. And now that I'm a grown-up myself, whatever that means to be a grown-up, I wonder sometimes if I have a much clearer understanding now of what wisdom truly is, of what it means to be wise. There is one thing, though, that seems crystal clear to me. Just because I'm older does not mean that I am necessarily any wiser. What does it mean to be wise? What serves as wisdom for us? James offers us an interesting place to begin to try to understand wisdom. James talks about the wisdom that is of the earth, and he contrasts that between the wisdom that is from above. There seems to be a clear distinction between the wisdom of people versus the wisdom of God. And when we hear that word, wisdom, what does that mean to us postmodern Christians, us United Methodists? We might equate wisdom with knowledge. And knowledge, for some people, is synonymous with information. We live in an age of hyper-information. There is information everywhere we look. There is information surrounding us on the television, the radio, the newspaper, magazines. And there is literally information available from every computer in the entire world when you consider the internet and the World Wide Web. We seem to be an earthly society obsessed with massive amounts of information. In fact, there are even computer programs that help us to wade through this massive amount of information. Tools like Google that help us to focus that impossible stream of information into some kind of manageable and understandable chunks. But the question still remains, does information equal wisdom? Not by a long shot. For many people, this information age is simply overwhelming. Folks throw up their hands in desperation, not knowing what to believe, not knowing how to make sense of this overabundance of information. Out of frustration, some people turn to one organization or to one person as their source of information. People watch CNN or ABC or Fox News. They watch it religiously. They listen to Rush Limbaugh or Larry King or Howard Stern or Katie Couric. They turn to the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the National Enquirer or Reader's Digest. Have they found wisdom? I wonder. As people try to find wisdom in 2006, they sometimes look to the wisdom from above. And they try to find it through the Pope and the Vatican, or they look to James Dobson, or Billy Graham, or some other televangelist. Have they found wisdom? I wonder. In fact, I wonder a lot. It's pretty obvious that I'm offering you a whole lot more questions than answers, but maybe that's the point. It seems to me that James is right. There is a big difference between the wisdom of people and the wisdom of God. And it also seems to me that as thinking Christians, we should try to not trust any one person or any one source of information to be our sole source for all that is good and all that is wise. Nobody has all the answers. Period. Even the Bible, if its passages are taken out of context, can provide us with misinformation and can lead us away from wisdom. It's when we decide what the Bible means that we can make mistakes and move more toward human wisdom. But because we are human beings, Christian people, trying to navigate our way through life in an uncertain world in highly uncertain times, I believe that we need to try to approach the wisdom of God and try to see the world through the lens of Christianity. Such a Christian lens has been developed by the United Methodist Church over time. You may be familiar with this approach that was actually developed by John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement. In fact, some people know it as the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. You can read all about it in the United Methodist Discipline. It's a great book. But this thing is called the quadrilateral because it has four elements, this way of trying to understand the world. Those four elements are Scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. The very foundation of our understanding of the world should always be Scripture. This is our anchor, our foundation. We should measure what we're hearing and seeing through our understanding of the Holy Bible. How is God using the Bible to instruct us? What does the Bible say about our modern situation? The second part of that quadrilateral is tradition. When you think about it, you'll understand that we are not the first people who are trying to make sense of the world and our place in it. By turning to tradition, it means that we are valuing and considering the writings and experience of the countless generations of Christians who have come before us. How has the church dealt with similar situations over time? The third element is experience. In our own experience, and in the experience of people throughout the world, how do we make sense of what is going on? Does this situation run counter to what we've experienced in the past, or does it run true to what we've known? And finally, reason. God has given us the faculties of active minds, well-developed intelligence, and the characteristic human trait of reason. We don't need to accept anything at face value. We are asked to use our reason to test what is going on. Scripture, tradition, experience, reason, these are the Wesleyan quadrilateral and a very good way to move from human wisdom toward the wisdom of God. You know, the very end of this reading from this morning's scripture from James contains some human wisdom that rings true and clear. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. as wise and as wonderful as we may consider ourselves in all the grandeur of our humanity, it boils down to the simple point of humility. We need to submit ourselves to God and to God's wisdom. James tells us that we need to draw near to God, but I believe that God is always right there with you, closer than your very heart, and sooner than your very next heartbeat. God is always with you. We simply need to pay attention and listen. God loves you. God will instruct you. God will never leave you. That is the wisdom to draw near. Amen.